Wow, I keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? KarmaCast has answers. Check out KarmaCast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
MidnightEclipse.net.tc.
We'll see you sooner than you think.
You are listening to Ghostly Time with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
Robin Bellamy was born in 1961 in, can I get a drum roll, Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Imagine that.
I know, and now lives in Toronto, Ontario. Currently in demand for speaking engagements, Robin also teaches for the Continuing Education Department of the Toronto District School Board. She is a former director of Toronto Ghosts and Hauntings Research Society, as well as the chief financial officer for its parent organization, PSICAN, that's Paranormal Studies and Investigations Canada, for its first year. A genealogist for over 30 years, she also does seminars on historical research. She also happens to give speeches pretty much all the time out at out in Point Pleasant.
At the Mothman Festival, yeah.
At the Mothman Festival, where I met her several years, her and her husband, several years ago.
Yeah.
And
Is it a couple of years ago, several, though?
I remember the first time we went there.
Was that 2004 we met Robin?
At least.
Was it 2000? The first one we went to was 2004.
Then that was when I met
her. Okay, so our intro to the show, I was wrong, up in 2005.
Right, but I met her, like, the very first time. I mean, she's just amazing.
Good, accurate broadcasting, right?
Yeah.
Right on the money.
Well, you know, that can be edited, but this is the first time, after all these years.
Well,
this
I want, the first no, time what I want to say here, I, after oh, all no. these years, you're going to take a serious ribbing here, Doug.
Yeah?
Sweet.
I agree.
Because Robin comes to me at the 2006 Mothman Festival this year and says, Scott, how you doing? I'm like, I'm doing great, Robin. She's like, excellent. She's like, I would love to come on Ghostly Talk. I'm like, well, we'd love to have you, Robin. All you have to do is like, hey, I've been coming on the show. And she's like, well, I've been trying to get on there. I've been emailing Doug, but I haven't heard back from him. And I'm like, email me, Robin. I'll take care of it. And here you sit, Robin.
This is my... This is my curse. I am the least.
I had to. I had to.
And
that gives you all rights to come back at me with something else later.
No,
on another show, whatever you want.
I more than deserve that because the problem is, and I'm just like so happy to have Robin on the show.
Oh, it's
Robin,
awesome.
your website is Robin Bellamy. That's robinbellamy.com. And of course, we can find more information about you there. But first, we want to get to know you. On Ghostly Talk.
We know her.
Well, we want everybody to get to know her on Ghostly Talk.
Duh.
Well, you know, the only reason I'm on here is because my son beat you up at the Mothman Festival.
Yeah. You know, and I hope you don't take offense to this, but we have a bunch of pictures from that, right, Robin? And I had a ball. That was so fun. Yeah, your son was running around, and we had like a chase fest for like an hour. He was everything he could find, you know, like just a balloon, a stick, a small automobile. He'd taken hit me with it, right?
Right.
So it was fun. I had a riot. But I got these pictures back. It's like everybody was taking pictures of us having a ball, goofing around. And I couldn't help myself because I'm like, wow, you know, after a half an hour, 45 minutes of this, I have, like, no energy left. I'm dead, right? So somewhere on the web, I think it's out there, I took that picture. I have this picture, and it was, you know, it was your son, like, hit me with something. You know, it was like a tire iron or something like that.
I gave him that.
Yeah, I gave him that. And I have this picture, and it's me and your son. And all I could put for a caption was birth control. That's all I could put. And that wasn't anything against your child at all, but I'm like, wow, this is some hard stuff right here.
Well, next year, we've already got a taser for him next year.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, right. It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be hiding in the low hotel the whole weekend. You know, we had a riot. We didn't meet you back in 2000.
This is like silly string. Aim it at Scott.
Oh, boy, man. Robin, looking forward to this one. I can't wait for the 2007 Mothman Festival. No, we did meet you originally in 2004. I remember we all kind of got together, and every year you've been an ornament there. We've always bumped into you at the Mothman.
An ornament. What an interesting.
Well, I mean, okay, I went after her kid. Now I'm going after her. I mean, I'm just going to go for it all the way tonight.
Wow.
He tried to deafen her during the break.
You're a beautiful chandelier at the Mothman.
Wow.
Now that's classy.
Is that classy?
But
it's happened.
Sorry.
I have to say, you, because the first time I met you, you were like, oh, yeah, we're from Toronto, and we come down for the Mothman Festival, or we live in Toronto, but you were from there, and, you know, you explained everything, and we chatted a lot about, your husband's job, uh-huh. because it's so close to mine, and as well as the...
He's a hitman too, huh?
Yeah, yeah,
oh, wow.
Yeah. He's in Colombia more than I am.
Oh,
actually.
Wow!
So,
yeah.
But anyway, the we also talked about how you stay at the Low Hotel and it's haunted and all this stuff and the hauntings there and then the hauntings around Toronto and then we talk about pretty much everything. I think we once accidentally even talked about the Mothman. But when we sit down with you, we just end up talking about everything under the sun.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that you did since we met you, I think, was you wrote a book, and it's a very, very different book.
Oh, yeah.
It is different.
Tell us about your book, because this fascinated me.
This is too cool. This is so cool.
My jaw dropped to the floor, and I'm like, why didn't anybody think of this? You know, this is amazing stuff. What did you do for your book?
Well, it's my labor of love. It's called Haunt Cuisine, mm-hmm. and it's a cookbook.
It is.
Yes.
I saw this at the last year. It's a cookbook.
Uh-huh.
A haunted, well, you know, it's all about haunting cuisine. Yeah.
Okay, and we need to understand this for the listening audience.
I think we need samples to fully appreciate it.
Yeah, come on, Emeril, where are you at? Where's the, I mean... What are these recipes? I mean, how did you get these recipes? I'm wondering how this thing came together.
Well, this was actually a dare. We were looking for fundraiser ideas for Psychen, and they said, oh, we can't do a cookbook. It'll never sell. So I, of course, had to do a cookbook.
So it was a dare. It was.
And it has sold wonderfully. It's not available in mass market places like Amazon.com or anything like that. It's only available at the Mothman Festival or through my website.
Okay.
But it has already sold well over 100 copies.
Good.
And what it is, it's some basic recipes that I love, my personal favorite recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And each one has a connection to a ghost story. For instance, there is a recipe in there for scratch pancakes. Now, we all know how to make it with the Aunt Jemima mix and all that stuff. But this is with, like, actual flour.
Mm-hmm.
And the story along with it is about an author by the last name of Pancake who still haunts his original home.
Wow.
And these are stories that are reported as true. None of it's fiction. And there's something with every recipe. There's a pineapple upside down cake recipe that has a haunting in Hawaii. Because, you know, that's where pineapples come from.
Okay, yeah.
And there's one for Spam that has, I think it's Wisconsin.
Is that where Spam comes
spam?
From?
Spam?
No.
Yeah.
What can you possibly make with Spam?
What's haunting about Spam?
Well, there's everything's haunting about Spam. Have you eaten it before?
No, it's really good. You make it with fruit cocktail.
Have you tried these recipes? Have you tried
every
one of them?
I have tried every one of them.
Spam and fruit cocktail.
Yep.
You sure there isn't any bourbon or anything in there, too?
You had the bourbon before.
That's why.
In any case, good. I never thought I'd hear the words fruit cocktail and spam in the same sentence in my entire life.
I think you'd be surprised. You should really try it. It's pretty good.
Only in the paranormal field will you hear that.
Yeah.
Well, so
but it's 110 pages, and it's got a lot of stuff.
That's fair. So this is the kind of stuff. Now, this is so amazing because if because we here at Ghostly Talk, we've got little parties throughout the year that we go to, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Bonnie hosts.
You guys are one big walking party.
Well,
are we?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
You saw the booth this year at the Mothman Festival, didn't you?
You forget. I know some secrets
about
you.
We rolled the keg up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, we have to talk afterwards. I'm ready to tell all expose.
Isn't
you were going to call it Doug Exposed, but it would be too scary.
Right.
Oh.
You know about that. That
somebody's already bought
time.
The domain. Doug's suing him.
I
think you were sitting right across from us this year at the Mothman Festival.
Yes, I was.
So you saw the whole debacle that happened this year. It was just a complete circus the whole weekend.
It usually is.
Well, no, I know where you're going, Doug. I'm gonna give you back the floor here. But I know where you're going with this, though. So,
well, the thing, it was just a simple little idea, is that people go to these parties. You go to, people's birthday parties, people's graduations. Of course, here in this industry, we go to a lot of Halloween parties.
Mm-hmm,
We go to the little festivals and the
conferences,
and everything like that. Wouldn't it be interesting?
Wouldn't you be like the coolest person around?
Wouldn't you be the coolest person around if you took a dish,
and then everybody that walked up to the table to eat some, you tell them the story.
You tell them a ghost story about that dish. That is the coolest thing on the planet, I think.
So Bonnie, get cooking.
Bonnie, we need you to make pancakes from scratch now. So I'll bring you some wheat and a couple of rocks.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I'll use the rocks for.
She'll heat them up and pummel them at me. Yes.
Well, no, that is like, I mean, we do go to a lot of parties, like you said, Doug. And it would actually be really neat to see that. Like, so you go out and you buy Robin's book, right? And then you each take a
That's
recipe.
That's the prerequisite. Because the fact is, nobody has anything like this.
No, I've
never seen
a book
like
this before in my entire life. I've never seen a book of this caliber.
I mean, I've seen the ones for Halloween, like you can make, the eyeball soup or whatever,
Or my favorite, the toilet bowl jello.
The toilet bowl jello.
Yellow jello. Oh, that looks so appetizing. My God.
Oh, I just want to dig my spoon into that. Yeah.
I made the apples with the worms coming out of them one year for a Halloween party. Where you get the gummy worms and you carve out the apple and put jelly in them.
But those are themey. Those are themey and they don't have real haunted stories along with them.
Mm-hmm.
This is, it's an otherwise unassuming looking, dish. Right?
Yeah,
and you're oh, this is great, pineapple upside down cake, thanks. Mm. And you're like, oh, yes, but. And then you lay a story on them.
Before you put that in your mouth, you have to hear the story.
You need to hear this story, yeah. I mean, it's just so cool. This is the coolest thing ever.
Could you? You're killing me, Robin. I really want to hear another story from this. If you'd like to share another one of these stories, because we're like totally like bugging up around here. We're all giddy and stuff now because of this.
We love talking about food. You've seen us.
You've seen us, for God's sake. We're both gigantic. I mean, let's be blunt here. Is there another story you'd like to share from this book?
There's the recipe for popovers is from a hotel where the original owner had used the hotel as a brothel.
Hot.
And the haunted employees are still around on occasion.
Oh, really?
And it's a story of naked ghosts.
Sex and ghosts. It doesn't get any better than this.
Where is this place at again?
It's in New England.
Okay. I smell a road trip coming on.
We'll be right over.
If it has food and naked women, you guys are all for it.
I don't got what red-blooded American male would not be like next to Super Bowl Sunday, right? Which you just had. I mean, what red-blooded American male wouldn't be just in seventh heaven with just food and naked women?
Could we find one that has naked men?
Naked male ghosts?
Naked.
They don't make them.
They don't make them. They're broken. Sorry.
The naked male ghosts are broken?
The problem with that is that ghosts tend to have coldness around them.
Oh.
Apparently, so did the host of Ghostly Talk.
Hey, that was a dig.
dig.
And that wasn't, I didn't dig that dig.
If I'm going to have a male ghost, I don't want him turtled.
You just didn't say that. Woo, boy.
Okay, can we just find a place with naked men for us to go hang out with?
They have those in Canada.
A warm place with naked men.
I was actually quite shocked when I got married. They had a bachelorette party for me. We went to one of those establishments.
Mm-hmm.
And they really do take it all off.
In Canada,
yes,
they do.
Yes, they do.
I was shocked, actually. That man could do things with a towel. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I
want to
replace my bathroom hooks.
I'm speechless here.
Oh, my God. Bonnie can't even breathe.
Kill the mic, Bonnie. You're going to blow all the level.
Bonnie can't even breathe.
Bonnie,
wow.
I think you've done it, Robin. Bonnie is...
She's red now.
She's hyperventilating. I just turned her mic off, actually. Because I didn't want her to, like, kill us.
Robin, we
this
live...
is what happens when you don't have me on for 3 years.
Oh, my God. I
years.
Love you.
Well,
you
We've
got to hang out.
We live here in the Detroit area, so...
I'm sorry.
I know, me too, but... The best thing about Detroit is it's 5 hours from Chicago, 5 hours from Toronto, and 6 hours from Indianapolis.
And 5 minutes from any topless bar, too.
And, well, yeah, they
have topless bars.
We can go right over the border, which is like half an hour away, mm-hmm. Including, time declaring all your valuables and stuff.
You have to tell them about your family jewels.
And we can go to some of these establishments where, there's the male version and the female version, and they're completely...
Well, I don't know if you finished that story.
I wonder if they're haunted.
As soon as you said naked ghost, like Doug and I were like... we like totally went into a, we reverted back 5,000 years back, actually. Back to our prime war, like to think intelligent men.
And this was a popover?
Yeah. What was this? Food?
They had food at this place? Yeah. I don't get it.
Why? this was a brothel, like you said, in there, and they've actually seen what they think is nude ghosts that you said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do they have pictures?
And we'd like all of them right now.
And video.
I would like to see a good spiritual picture, actually. Those are very hard to come by.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I've never heard. Well, I mean, how do you? Okay, I mean, I don't want to jump on that, but I mean, how do you know they're nude? I mean, as far as this particular story is concerned, how do they?
Well,
know
I mean,
nude?
The one ghost that I saw looked as real as you and me.
Was it dressed?
Yeah. And it was dressed. The one that I saw was dressed. Thank heavens, he was an older man.
Whole,
yeah.
That whole see-through thing is all Hollywood. Typically, they look just like anybody else, except there's something just a little wrong.
And the same thing with Tamara Thorne, when her and her husband and her
good
were
story,
waiting.
Yeah.
Were waiting. The guy had gone into the bathroom, and they, the door. He opened the door, went into the bathroom.
Yeah, he walked in like any normal person.
And they waited and waited and waited for the bathroom to become free, but it turned out there was no real person.
Well, some of the most famous spirit photography in the history. If you look, and I know, Robin, you're familiar with a lot of these. I mean, if you look at a lot of these pictures, you'll see a person standing there.
Right.
Yep. And you know, normal photo of a group of soccer players or whatever. And
there's another one.
And they're like,
you don't
okay.
notice anything.
They're like, so this is a cool photo. And we're like, why is it such a cool photo? We're like, well, there was 13 people on the team, and there's a 14th guy there on the corner.
Yep.
And he looks just
like any other, yeah.
He don't look out of the ordinary.
And the one, there's one photo at the Queen Mary. Somebody had their, it was like a wedding, after the wedding party thing or whatever there.
Yeah.
And there was all these guests and stuff. And there's a picture where this guy is seated at a table. And I don't remember if he's eating or not, but he's seated at the table. And nobody at the entire wedding reception knew this guy. Nobody saw him.
It was probably Scott L. He crashed the party.
Yeah, I was a wedding crasher.
Was you crashing? Okay,
yeah. I crashed the wedding.
He heard there were naked ghosts.
I said, yeah, what's up? But no, that's an interesting idea, though. I mean, because, like you just said, Robin, it is a lot of it has to do with Hollywood, the mysterious. Well, the brown lady.
She's kind of see-through-ish.
She's like, yeah, she's kind of transparent, though. I mean, that's not the most famous piece of spirit photography in history. That's kind of like a translucent kind of, but there's like no detail there. I mean, kind of by looking at that, with your past experience as a human being, you're going to go, well, that kind of looks like a woman in a dress coming down the stairs, you know, as far as the brown lady's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But like you just said, though, Doug, the one you saw, he was an older man dressed. He had clothes on.
The ghost
details.
That I saw was dressed, yeah.
Details. And that's why I kind of thought, well, new ghosts, okay, even though we all got a good laugh out of it, in all seriousness, you know, how do they know they're nude?
Never started out talking about... Let me look on the topics to discuss. Oh, here it is. Nude ghost.
Is it on that list?
On my list.
That's in my own handwriting. Never mind.
I think we need to go to New England really soon, Doug, and check this thing out. I mean, this deserves some further explanation, don't you think, Doug?
Yes. We're going to New England. I'm calling Nathan right after the show. Oh, I'll be talking to him. So
that's an interesting story, though.
On the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Is there any demons there? We need to hit it up.
I just love the way you just said that.
Thank you.
What's that?
On the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Yeah. It's coming up.
You're going to be on there tonight.
According to Sean, they rock out with their socks out.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Again, you could, like you said, Robin, you can only get this book from your website, which is robinbellamy.com.
Or at the Mothman Festival.
Right. Yeah. And I assume you're going to be at the 2007 this year, right?
I am, and I have a new book for that one.
I'll want an autographed copy.
Okay.
And I want
because apparently now all parties I have to be catered with your food.
I want a popover.
Thanks.
Yeah, the popover is going to be the number one most read chapter in that book.
It'll be earmarked.
Yeah, that's the one with the fold over, yeah.
And we'll have to go hang out one night while we're there without the guys.
Yeah. You know there's so many places to party in Point Pleasant.
I know.
Well, you know what we found out later, after last year's
thing? This was kind of bummy out.
We went out, like, we drive down there for hours and hours and hours and hours, and we drive down there. Okay, it's 6 hours. But anyway, we drive down there. And then we get our hotel room, which we never got to stay at the Low Hotel.
We're staying there this year, though.
We're staying there this year, but last year, all the years before that, we were unable to. And because we always, you know, are just...
We'll get like 15 minutes before we left.
Yeah. They don't accept phone calls just before as you're driving down there.
Yeah. That's,
so
we go... Yeah. I swear.
I know.
In all seriousness, if you don't have a reservation for the Low by the April 1st, you're probably not going to get one.
I booked ours about a month ago.
Yeah.
And she was like, even the lady who I talked to, she was like, I really shouldn't be booking. I'm like, look.
He started whining.
I started like, don't you know who I think I am? You're like, going to book me in your hotel.
Do you have any idea who you're talking to?
I'm actually going to be down there in March because that's the subject of my new book.
Oh, the Mothman.
No, the Low Hotel.
The Low Hotel.
The Haunting of the Low Hotel, yeah. She's got all the records up in the attic from when it was originally built from 100 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And she's going to give me full access.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to be writing about the people that have stayed there and the ghosts that have been seen and who they probably are.
Wow.
Ooh.
So this is going to be a good time for you to stay there.
Excellent.
We can lay in bed at night with a copy of Robin's brand new book that we just bought across from our booth. Right. We'll have to go across from our booth, buy the book.
We're going to make sure we have Chad Lambert next to us this year. We have to make our demands because every year we make our demands to Jeff. And we're like, okay, we want Chad Lambert next to us. Now we have to have Robin Bellamy
directly across from us. Yeah.
Can we arrange for people to fan us while we're there?
Yeah. I want the grapes. I want the wine. I want the whole thing.
Good.
I want to talk more about the Low Hotel if you'd like to after the break. Would that be cool, Robin?
Sure. Yeah, that's great.
I know we have a whole bunch of stuff that we're supposed to talk about here tonight. But,
I don't know how that went.
It's
kind
of cold in here, so I used those notes for kindling.
Yeah.
Yeah, note he said cold.
We'll be back after this quick
love
break.
You. Okay,
snap God. Bonnie around a little
I love
bit.
You.
Right, we are at it again.
Prophecy Night, Part 3.
On Sunday, March 4th, 2007, Ghostly Talk hosts another roundtable with
Homie 3,
Jill Dane,
Scott Christensen,
Cattell,
D.
Derek White Skycloud,
and Victor Baines. That's Sunday, March 4th, 2007.
6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Prophecy Night, only here on Ghostly Talk.
For more information, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
No particular mention of color band. We're sticking down to the floor. Buddha, Vishnu, the Dalai Lama, Isis, Baal. What do all of these ancient gods have in common with each other? They're all going down. World of the Unexplained. Conservative paranormal talk. Big on God. Big on guns. Our God can beat up your God.
Haunted Low Hotel in Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
We're going to be, yeah.
And we're going to even be there later in the year. But we happen to have on the phone...
Robin Bellamy.
Robin Bellamy of robinbellamy.com, which, of course, that link will be up on permanently.
Yeah, permanently. Permanently.
In our link section. And
like a chandelier, it'll never leave.
I'm going to have to make a banner.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, we'll put a banner up.
Yeah, well, yeah, bring a banner. Yeah,
we put all kinds of banners in the rotation.
Well, that's one thing, you know, I'll mention that while that was brought up. You know, anybody out there, just to, you know, if you have a group or another show you're doing or whatever, we get emails all the time from people going, hey, can you put our banner up on your site? And we're happy to do that. We don't charge you any fees or anything like that.
Right.
Just send us your banner, you know, and as long as it isn't like, you know, some weird, crazy, like, you know, weird pervert site or something like that. Well, please make it paranormally related to. Right?
Yeah.
And if it's perverted and paranormal, it'll go in the first place.
Even better. Yeah.
No, we love that. Yeah, and that goes for you too, Robin. If you do have a banner, send it over. We'd love to put it up on our website, definitely.
Oh, good. Another project. Just what I needed.
But the Low Hotel, that was something... We were talking about that a little bit before we went to break, and
You know what? I had started talking about
what's that?
We drive down there, and then Friday night we went.
Oh,
out.
Yeah,
we went out and about Friday night. You know, we went to dinner. Well, we went to dinner, and then we had met all those cool people, and we went up to the TNT area and stuff like that. And
in
then,
the dark,
no, that was the second night.
Oh, was that the second night?
The first night we got there, and we met up with Nicole and Kevin. And we all went to dinner, and we just kind of hung out.
Oh, that's right. We just hung out and stuff like that. And then
walked around town.
And then the second night.
That wasn't for us the first night. That was your first night. We got there way later than you.
Oh, yeah, this year.
Oh, that's
yeah.
why I forgot. Okay,
this past year, we got there way late because I had just flown in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the...
were his wings tired.
And boy, my wings tired. And I have to say that was a different trip. Why did we get there so late?
Because you were in California or something.
You were in Vegas.
Or you were in Vegas, yeah.
You flew back. Me, you, and Will drove up separately.
I thought that was when we went to...
No, that was the Mothman Festival.
No, it was Mothman, remember? Because I almost turned around and came back.
Why was I so tired the first night when you were wandering around in the woods?
That was
Strangers?
Gettysburg.
Yeah, well, I was at the room sleeping. Why was I at the room sleeping? In Gettysburg.
Because you're depressing?
Well, that could be, yeah.
I don't remember why.
What the... Okay.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. So the thing is, we did it backwards. We went out to the TNT area.
Yeah, the second night.
Well, the second night with all those folks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the first night, you know, we arrived and we went to dinner. It was really nice. But it turns out... All the big, you know, parties and stuff happened the second night. We're out ghost hunting or
yeah,
or
we were doing what we thought we were supposed to be doing.
Yeah, instead of you know,
there was apparently a big party at the Iron Gate.
Yeah,
right there.
And we totally missed it because we were out ghost hunting. So.
Yeah, so yeah, we missed the big party out there. So hopefully there's another party going on this year, Rob, and we can hang out with you.
It's in our room at the Low Hotel.
Oh, really?
Just so you know.
Low Hotel.
We're going to do our best to get not invited there next year.
It's on the third floor. It will be a party.
Oh, perfect. That's what
well,
I like.
Well, yeah, you know, it would be nice to get some pointers possibly, Robin, because we are going to be going out there later this year. We're going to be hanging out with you and a lot of other cool people. you're doing this book, apparently. This is news. This is new news here.
Yeah, breaking news. Yeah. Summit 11.
You're doing this book. I mean, obviously, the Low Hotel is a historic place in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. First of all, what got you started on this? I'd just like to know how this thing, whole thing got going for you.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I had a sighting at the Low, not last year, but the year before. There was a boat captain in my room.
Ooh.
And I thought he was just one of the guests for the Mothman Festival, and he was lost. But as it turns out, he was a ghost. And I was a little unnerved.
Okay. I can imagine.
He told me he was waiting for a boat that was going to come in that night, and that it would dock, you know, right down there in the amphitheater. Well, he didn't call it the amphitheater. He just said right down there.
Yeah.
So I went downstairs and talked to Ruth, the owner of the place, and had a cup of coffee and calmed down. And she said, well, I don't think there's any boats due in. Let me make some phone calls. So she called around, and no tour boats are due in. The next morning, we got up at 9 o'clock, and there was a boat docked at the amphitheater.
Oh, wow.
And everybody kind of freaked out.
But you talked...
I would think so. was he predicting this, or do you think he was, like, actually going to go haunt that boat for a while?
Well, I think he just was expecting it. I don't know what he thought the boat would be, because I got the feeling he was kind of stuck in a different time.
Ah, yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking, too. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not knocking the validity of that boat docking there, actually, either. But, I mean, a lot of these sightings are, you know, they're period sightings.
Yeah.
And these are
residual. He was definitely in period dress.
Yeah, this type could be some type of residual sighting you had.
Yeah.
And, it could have been any boat that came.
Well, and in talking with Ruth about this, I discovered that the suite that we were in was actually part of the wing that they reserved for boat workers. Ship's captains and the hands on the boat and stuff when they were staying over in Point Pleasant.
Oh.
Interesting.
All those years ago.
Now, well, he talked to you.
Yes.
Okay, did you talk to him?
Yes, I did. We had quite the conversation.
Wow.
And then I noticed he didn't have any legs.
Well, that would definitely be a conversation starter. I mean.
So, I noticed you don't have legs.
What's your story?
I was trying to keep him talking because I knew that right behind me was my video camera. And I was talking to him and backing up really slowly, trying to get my camera.
Uh-huh.
And I turned around and grabbed it and turned back and he was gone.
Oh, man.
I was so frustrated.
Now we have you on the phone here to discuss this. Okay, you said he was dressed in period dress. I mean... Did he look like we were talking about that the last half an hour, like did he look translucent? Was he solid? Did he look just like a normal guy standing there?
He looked just like a normal guy. There's a chair by the window and he was standing kind of between the chair and the window, looking out the window. So initially I didn't think to look for his legs because it was obscured by the chair.
Yeah.
And then the more I talked to him, the more I realized that he was probably a little nuts and kind of looked at him differently, and then I noticed he didn't have legs.
What kept you from just, like, running out of there? I'm just curious. Because if I woke up and someone, I mean, whether I'm a paranormal investigator or not, if I woke up in the middle of the night and someone was staying there at the foot of my bed or by my bed or in the same room as me, I think I would react kind of negatively to that.
First of all, I wasn't asleep. I had just returned to my sleep that night.
Okay.
So it was still fairly early. It was, like, 10 o'clock at night.
Okay.
And when we walked in, he was there. So I just figured, because, you know, the Low, for all of the good things it has, it doesn't have real good security.
I heard you get an actual old-fashioned skeleton key.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Wait, I think you showed it to me.
Wait, though. Do the rooms actually have their own keys?
You just use each skeleton key opens a different room.
Right. It's
okay.
A skeleton key.
All right.
It's an actual member old-fashioned skeleton key.
Because I was thinking, okay, if they don't have, if all the rooms have the same key, I'm going back to the HI this year. I'm not going to go to the Low.
Well, to my knowledge, there has never been any problem in the whole 100 years of its existence. There's never been any theft or people walking in or anything like that.
Well, it's a beautiful hotel.
It really is.
It's a really nice place. I've used a bathroom there numerous times.
And I have a feeling, yes, we all have.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling if they switched and they went to those beep beep. Keys, you know, it would take away probably a good 10-15% of its charm.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, totally. I mean, technology isn't always the greatest
right
remedy, I think.
Exactly.
Sometimes a place with a Low, you're right, Doug, The old skeleton keys. It just kind of gives you that feel like, okay, I'm in a historic place. This is kind of cool.
Yeah,
definitely. I agree with
you. I
got
to drag this big hunk of metal around with me wherever I go.
This sucks.
But
actually, what you do when you leave is just leave it at the front desk and pick it up when you come back.
Oh, that's even better. There.
Yeah.
That's
really? So you don't lose it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Even the big hotels nowadays don't do that. I mean, you always have to carry that stupid card around in your wallet, and, you know, it can still get lost that way.
Yeah.
And certain parts of the hotel are open to everybody. There's a big ballroom up on the fourth floor. One thing you need to know is that the fourth floor was never finished.
Okay.
There's still half of it that is in its original condition from the 1901 building.
Wow.
That's the part I get to explore. I'm so excited. Anyway, next to that, there are a few rooms, but mostly it's a ballroom. And it is the most amazing thing. The hardwood floors just gleam, and the windows all overlook the water. It's just amazing. But it's creepy, too.
I believe that.
And they don't use this. Do they use this ballroom for anything at all? Is it just
Okay. They have weddings and parties and stuff like that up there.
Oh, okay.
I'm hoping to talk to sponsors into doing a wine and cheese for the Mothman Festival.
Oh, we're there. More food.
I'll be
great.
Right. Yeah.
If you could arrange the naked ghost, that would be even better.
Well, you never know. In fact, I was filming a Sci-Fi Investigates episode at the Low in August. And I don't know if you know who Boston Rob is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Heard about him before, yeah.
Yeah, he's supposed to be like this totally skeptical, tough guy, right? Well, by the end of the interview at the Low Hotel, he wouldn't stay in the hotel. He wanted to go over to the Holiday Inn. He was so scared.
Well, he's in good company, because we've only ever stayed at the Holiday Inn over there.
Well, one of the ghosts there is a cleaning woman who has actually been there for 26 years in real life. She worked there for 26 years.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And now she will leave cleaning supplies in your room, which you would think is just the normal cleaning service, but it's not the same brand that they use at the Low.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And one of the rooms we walked into during the filming actually had something in there. And one of the girls was staying in that room, and she was completely frightened because she knew that nobody had been in the room, and there was a bottle of cleaning solution in the middle of her bed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Of different the kind that they don't use anymore.
Right.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, I want to find some cleaning solution in my room so bad. I can't even see straight.
Yeah.
There's also
the only time you'd be happy to see that.
Yeah, the only time I'll be happy to see anything that involves, you know, work or cleaning.
I didn't mean it like that, but okay, Doug.
Is at the Love Hotel, yeah.
Well, Rob, we've been trying to get in this place forever, and we just keep messing it up. And this year, I was like, you know what? I am going to get, you know, because we have so many trips we're going to be going on this year, so many conferences we're going to. I decided to take the ring and, like, go, okay, we're going to book all the hotel rooms all the way up to, like, 2009. We're done.
And he's done it.
And he did,
We've done it, right? And that one of them was the Low Hotel, and I guess I called, like, a month ago to get this thing booked. We finally got a room there. We got two rooms, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know where we're going to be.
Mine's the party room, so Saturday night, my room, Low
Hotel. Because Doug is such a party.
He's going to put the Delta logo on the door or something like that.
Delta Epsilon Phi. Yeah.
So that's kind of how you get... Very nice. That's kind of how you got started on this, though, Robin. I mean, and there's obviously a bunch of stories you've told. A couple of stories there.
Oh yeah.
And we've heard is just how haunted, notoriously haunted the Low Hotel is.
Well, what's different about this book is that I'm actually doing the research. I've gone to the censuses and proven that these people actually were there at that time. And the ghost identifies himself as Captain Jim, and I have actually found historically a reference to a captain who probably stayed at the Low, whose name was Captain Jim.
Wow. Did he talk with, like, a pirate accent? Like, "Arr, I'm Captain Jim, matey."
I can't wait for the answer.
Oh, my God, that was
one.
Horrible.
He talked like he was from Cincinnati.
Okay.
How's that go?
Well, it's kind of a...
Hi, I'm
but
Captain
not
Jim from Cincinnati. Yeah. Captain Jim from Cincinnati.
So he was cussing at you then.
Yeah.
She said Cincinnati, not Detroit.
Oh,
I was thinking Cleveland. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all close together.
Good God.
Robin, I apologize for this, the whole thing.
The whole hour. We're so sorry.
I don't apologize for the first half hour. Because I loved it.
The thing is, though, is that we've heard a lot of stories Robin, about people like bumping into someone. Like they, you know, you've heard all these stories about people picking up, you know, hitchhikers, or they, mm-hmm. you know, they're at a bus stop and they talk to someone, or, you know, they just, you know, whatever situation it may be, they talk to this person, they connect with somebody for a few minutes and they talk to them and they have a conversation, and then somehow they'll get involved where they'll find out that this person they talked to was, you know, one story I heard recently was a guy who picked up, he met up with some girl and they hung out. It was like back in the 50s, you know, so he wasn't like, you know, trying to drag her back to his house or anything like that. They actually met each other, and he like...
This was back in the day of chivalry.
Yeah, this is back when, you know, it was a little more laid back. They met up and they hung out, and the guy, they had a nice conversation, and she was cold, so he let her have her jacket, right? And they walked along, and then they went, he walked her back to her house, and, you know, good night, have a good night, thank you, right? Well, the next day he realized that she still had his jacket, so he went back to the same house, and some older lady answers the door, and he's like, yeah, can I speak to Elizabeth? I think that's what her name was, and she's like, Elizabeth, that's my daughter, but she's been dead for 20 years, right? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, pretty cool story,
that's,
right?
It's
cool
all story. Over Snopes. Yeah. That's a common
Yeah, it's a common story. It's
urban
pretty, but interesting
yeah.
nonetheless, but people don't realize they're talking to a dead person.
Yep.
That's the point. They don't realize they're talking to a dead person. What made you realize you were talking to a dead person? I'm really curious about that, Rob.
He didn't have any legs.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, yeah, you did. But no, before you, when you said
even,
you talked to him before, you see,
even at first, you
yeah.
you had no idea. You're like, oh, there's a
oh,
guy
no.
in my room.
I completely thought that there was somebody just in my room.
So did you hit him with anything?
Yeah. It's not that kind of hotel. Everybody's very friendly and you figure out he's lost, I'll just talk to him for a minute, and he'll be on his way, you know?
Uh-huh. But he was in your room.
Yeah.
Well, you're much more laid back than I am. I guess it's just a personality difference. Cause
oh, darling, like, everybody's more laid back than you are.
What gave you that clue?
Oh, 50 points for you.
What gave you that clue? Well, you knew that you were talking to someone who was deceased, though. It isn't another...
Not at first. And then she noticed legs, and she's like, and that's it. She starts backing up to grab her video camera, but when she had to turn around, it...
Well, I hate the way I can like...
dissipated.
What?
Okay, I'm missing something here.
Okay.
She walks into the room. There's this guy standing, looking out the
just
window, and she's like, oh, there's somebody in my room. You know, I better find out what he's doing here.
Well,
so they have this
little conversation. Well, that right there, though, Doug, okay, there's somebody.
Yeah, you don't
my...
pick up a lamp and hit him with it right away without finding out if he's...
Well, that's what I would do.
Well, I mean...
I just said, can I help you? And he said, well, I'm waiting for something. And I said, what are you waiting for? And he said, I'm waiting for the boat.
Okay, so you did approach him like, hey, what's up? What are you doing in my room? Like,
oh, yeah.
Can I help
oh, yeah.
you? Okay. That's what I was like wondering.
I didn't like invite him to dinner.
Oh, I see. Make yourself at home.
Even I have my standards.
Ah, yeah. Well, no, that's what I was wondering is if, you know, you were surprised. But, I mean, there was at one time in this conversation you had with this gentleman that, you know, okay, what's going on here? What is this guy doing in my room?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you wondered that first thing. It seems like thus far, apparently because Bonnie thought I wasn't listening, but I actually was, actually probably better than she was, that...
I knew all of that.
Well, okay, are you making assumptions, though, Bonnie? I don't make assumptions anymore.
Scott.
That's right.
You had to ask her how she knew it wasn't an actual man.
You got me there. You got me there, Bonnie. You got me there. So
Bite me.
Here's your button.
Oh, my.
Sorry about that. I just gave Bonnie a button or a punch or something like that. No.
And ruined Doug's laptop.
Yeah,
that
almost threw my laptop on
sorry,
the floor.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'll take a strike back so you only have one strike.
good. Now I have two to go.
But no, that's what I was wondering is if, you know, you were at first concerned, like, okay, what is this person doing in here? And then you did realize that you were talking, you know, wow, I'm talking to someone here who is deceased. Let me see if I can get my camera. Unfortunately,
yep.
You know, you missed that chance. But still, that's a really weird situation, though, to really kind of know what situation you're in, because most people don't. Most people don't
well,
know.
Well, and it was wonderful
that.
To get a name. Because
yeah.
usually when you're interacting, they don't give you very many clues. You kind of have to guess. But it was really extraordinary that he was actually going to give me his name.
Well, and it's a cool story, too. It's a great
yeah.
story to tell.
That's awesome. And it's contemporary. I mean, it was just 2 years ago, right?
Yep.
And it's in a place that we're going to be.
Oh, I'm sorry. This
building.
Has, like, got me so much more
I'm
geek
so
to
excited.
Go, too. That's going to be 2007 Mothman Festival.
I really hope someone's in our room.
Now, Robin, you're speaking at the next Mothman Festival, right?
As far as I know.
I hope so. If
not, apparently,
we'll bring you on
anyway. Apparently what's going to happen, I don't know if you know this or not, Robin, but Jeff came to us this past year and said, hey. Well, he's like, hey, Scott, what's up? And I'm like, hey, Jeff, how you doing? And he's like, next year when we do this speaking thing, how would you guys like to kind of MC this thing?
Oh,
like,
cool.
We're gonna get
so it should be a train wreck.
Yeah, it should be a complete wreck now. but no, they're gonna get a better PA set up for this year, and we're gonna have
nice.
what we're hoping to do. I think, and I got to discuss this more with Jeff, but we're gonna try to get wireless mics and stuff like that.
Well, I'm gonna get some wireless mics.
Oh, you're gonna get wireless mics?
Yeah, and we'll bring ours.
Oh, okay.
I want wireless mics for ghost hunting anyway.
That's a really good idea.
So, because I want to be able to put wireless mics around, and you know, so I'm getting some.
Why do you do that? Why do you use wireless mics for ghost hunting?
I hate wires.
Yeah, but they have a transmitter in them. How do you know that what you're getting is actual feedback and not, you know, something paranormal?
Well, if it says, "Welcome to Drive Time in Cleveland. This is your host, DJ Honey Bucket," and then I'll be like, "Okay, that was not a ghost." If it says that.
I think he's got a good point. I have to agree.
But if it says, get out, then I'll be like, I think that could have been a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. If you're picking it up on your wireless receiver, it could be Skip.
I think we're going to have to argue about this another time, guys. But no, you actually, both of you got good points, though. I kind of see what she's saying. But, Doug, I kind of see what you're saying too in the.
I would like to cover the area more. Even if you only use the audio from the wireless mics as a control, like who was where and who was saying what at the time,
uh-huh.
Right? And you use your real wired microphone as the evidence, and then you can say, well, you know what? Okay, I got this weird EVP. I'm going to listen to the same segment of audio on the wireless mics and see if it was a car, a cat, a kid, a fellow ghost hunter, whatever. And even if you only use the wireless audio as a control, I think it's better to blanket the area and get, you know, if it's a suspectedly haunted area.
As long as you've got two objectives, that's great with me. Because, you know, sometimes I am a serious researcher.
That's what I was saying on the break. I was like, wow, you know, Robin's so serious about researching, but she's really rolling with the GT crew. I love it.
You fit right in. Yeah. Congratulations. You're one of us, Robin.
Oh, God.
I know. I'm sorry.
That wasn't a
grant of congratulations. That was a warning.
Yeah, we're sorry. Yeah.
Robin, we do need to thank you for coming on the show, though. I'm so happy we were able to have you come on. We'd like to do it again for sure.
3 years from now?
Yep. We're booking you in for 2010.
Yeah, let me pull the schedule up right now. Let's do this thing right here.
2010.
Get your name, email address, phone number. Please, I just important. No, we'd like to have you come back on the show again.
Sooner, we hope, especially.
Hopefully before this year's Mothman Festival.
Yeah, and as things are progressing, especially on the book, because as it gets closer and closer to the Mothman Festival, you might be like, you know, it might help to excite people about the festival.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
If we bring you back on and talk about what you found and the preparations you've seen while you were, you know, going down there for the festival
itself.
We've
got tons of stuff to talk about. I'm a Mothman witness, too.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Definitely. Let's do this again. Robin, stay on the line for 1 second, okay?
Okay.
But don't leave us just yet. I'd like to thank Robin for coming on the show.
Oh, definitely.
How cool was that?
Very much so.
It's.
Bonnie enjoyed herself a lot.
I did.
And I know I did, too. So I think Robin. Remember, Robin's website is robinbellamy.com, R-O-B-I-N-B-E-L-L-A-M-Y.com.
Pick up her book,
A-M-Y.
Tasty Treats.
Yes, it's called Haunt
for
Cuisine.
You to eat. Oh, so sweet.
Oh, my God.
Yo.
Tastes better than
you were
feed?
Have, we were
Is
have
that
a,
next?
I told you we were going to have a rap battle tonight.
We're having a rap battle tonight.
That's it. We're going to break. Bye-bye.